I can't say the midday because we're not there yet, but welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I want to find out a little bit later about this phenomenon you have started called the naked violin.
Yes, indeed. No, happy to talk about that. And actually, in fact, I've been enjoying working with some of your young people here in Madison. So perhaps we'll chat about that in a while.
Well, good. But first, let's actually have some music. And this is from your latest CD. Came to us, in fact, just last month. And you have Richard Strauss, who has, I venture to say, these are slightly out of the way things. You don't hear often about the violin music of Strauss or Respighi.
That's true. In fact, both composers are much more noted for their orchestral works, but not so much for chamber music. The Strauss was the last piece of chamber music he wrote before he went on to write the big orchestral tone poems and Till Eulenspiegel and works such as that. But it's an absolutely brilliant piece. And in fact, the way that he uses both the violin and the piano is almost orchestral. So it's fairly over the top. But I love it. It's a brilliant work full of youthful vigor.
That's on here. And then Sonata by Respighi, which I would put in that same category, is not so frequently heard. And then these three pieces from a set of six, which include, and I don't associate the waltz with Respighi.
No, indeed not. In fact, they're really beautiful, more like salon pieces, really, and a very different style from the sonata, which is also on the disc. The sonata is the slightly brooding work, but with a very heavenly, slow movement. Heifetz used to favour their sonata very often. But the waltz that we're going to hear is called Valse Caressante, a caressing waltz. And then a lovely serenata afterwards, which is a very, very beautiful nocturnal style piece.
The violinist is Tasman Little and the pianist is Piers Lane. Very tender and sweet and lyrical indeed, as advertised there. The violinist was Tasman Little playing with pianist Piers Lane, and those were two from a set of six pieces, three of which are on her most recent CD. And Tasman Little is my guest for this portion of the 11 o'clock hour today. No need to reset your watch. We would usually be doing this at 12, but we're doing it at 11 because, of course, there's fever pitch building up in this last weekday of the pledge drive. More about that later. Right now, I want to hear about naked violin.
Well, for many, many years, I've worked with children going into schools and giving concerts for them or just workshops, introducing people to classical music and specifically, obviously, to the violin. I also was busking in London and realized that there are a lot of people who don't feel comfortable with the idea of listening to classical music, either because they feel that they don't know enough about it, or maybe they feel it's expensive to go into a concert hall, or maybe they don't want to buy a CD or download something in case they don't like it and it's a waste of money. So I decided in 2008 that I wanted to try and do something about this, to destroy as many barriers as I possibly could. And of course, the internet is a fantastic way of getting to all corners of the globe. And so I put out a brand new CD, a brand new recording of entirely solo violin works. And I chose three very different works. So I chose a beautiful piece of Bach, a set of dances, then a modern piece, a British composer called Paul Patterson, which is a sort of introduction to the violin, if you like, because there's lots of tricks that you have to play in this piece of music. And then a wonderful piece by a Belgian composer called Eugène Isaïe. And so I put this recording out up on my website for free, and really an invitation for people to experience classical music, literally no strings attached, and totally in the privacy of their own home, and you know, as if basically there were no remaining barriers left. And the response was unbelievable. Within a couple of weeks, I'd had about 250,000 downloads. I'd had countless letters because I issued an invitation to people to listen to the music.
A three-step challenge.
You've done your homework, Norman. It's brilliant. A three-step challenge to listen to the music, get to know it a little bit, because that's the thing about classical music. You don't always get the most out of a piece of music on your first hearing.
That is very true.
Yeah. And then to write and tell me what they either liked about it or if they didn't like.
Are they writing you about not liking it? Are there negatives from it?
Actually, I really didn't get any negative letters at all. Some people wrote and they said that they preferred a particular piece of music to another one. Actually, two of my favourite letters came from people within the United States. One was from a guy who described himself as an ageing rock and rollster who had not felt that he was able to enjoy classical music because of his preconceptions about it. And he said that he absolutely loved the classical music and was tempted to throw away all of his rock and roll collection. And I wrote back quickly and said, no, don't do that. Please, the beauty of music is that you don't have to say, well, it's one at the expense of another. You can enjoy the whole lot.
And it's always overlapped between classical and folk and between classical now and rock.
That's very true. But my really, really all-time favourite letter came from a five-year-old boy who wrote, and he said that he liked the Bach, but that he really enjoyed the Paul Patterson. This was the modern piece of British music. And he said Patterson was way gooder than Bach. Patterson was great, you know, and all these fantastic adjectives that he came out with. So I really loved that letter.
And it is fascinating to see what people younger and younger and younger respond to in classical music. It's really unpredictable.
You are so right, because I think that a lot of people have these ideas that Mozart is for babies. Well, yes, Mozart is for babies, but so is Paul Patterson.
Mozart was a baby.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, if this is a website that's easy to find, we just go to Tasman Little.
Exactly.
TASMAN.
That's it. And you just click on Naked Violin. It's all still there. I'm not planning on taking the music down. It's up there for, you know, as long as my website exists. Because I think that, you know, more and more people are intrigued by what is going on in music. And YouTube, of course, is a huge thing where people can experience different kinds of music and really find out what they like. So I think we're at one of the best ages now, one of the best times for really educating ourselves and really taking that step and boldly going where we might not have gone before.
Spoken like a true star. And there's just more out there than there ever has been.
That's right.
I mean, in terms of, even if you're talking about vintage recordings, more and more of those become available and easier to listen to technologically. But new music all the time, constantly changing, and you cannot put a label on contemporary music. That in itself is misleading.
That's very true, because I think that there always have existed composers who are completely individual, living at the same time, and now is no different. I play works by many different living composers, and really their styles are so different that it's impossible to pigeonhole them. You can't say, well, this is just contemporary music. Contemporary only really relates to the fact that they are still alive and still composing.
And that Prokofiev violin concerto that you'll be playing tonight is, when you say Prokofiev, people, I suppose each person has his own notion as to what that sounds like, but there are moments that will surprise you, I venture to say, in a very pleasant way, listening to that. I mean, there are moments, for example, of lyricism that you would just transport you, I would say.
Oh, you are very right. Absolutely. Particularly the slow movement, which is beautifully romantic. But it's a quirky kind of romance as well, because the way that he chooses to put the accompaniment underneath my line is just very individual. It's a fantastic music, and I think it's very immediately accessible as well because of this beautiful sense of line that goes throughout. But also there's some great rhythms in the Prokofiev, most notably in the last movement, which is some sort of crazy waltz dance, but very, very folksy. And he had a great sense of humor as well. We've got the castanets in there and the bass drum booming away. It's a very exciting piece.
He had been to Spain as he was working on that. in his travels. Now, what about this Polish composer that you've recorded several years ago now?
Yes, Karłowicz. He is really largely unknown and sadly died at a very young age. He was only 28 and he was killed in an avalanche. And so we don't have an awful lot of his music, but this beautiful violin concerto is such a gem. And really outside of Poland, not too many people know it. So I was thrilled at the opportunity of recording it a few years ago. And I think that had he lived longer, he would have made more of a mark in the classical music world. But as it is, we are just left with very, very few works. But this one is so beautiful.
And would this be the final movement or the romanza that you
Should we hear? Think? Let's hear the final movement, okay. Which is a fun dance.
Vivace assai. And if you like that, I'm told the slow movement is stunning by Tasman Little, who is the violinist, and we'll be hearing more from her in a few minutes, and more from her violin, too. That was the final movement of the violin concerto in A by Mieczysław Karłowicz, and also the BBC Scottish Symphony with Martin Brabins conducting. So I'm Norman Gilliland. Back with violinist Tasman Little, who's playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight in a concert that, in her part, includes the Prokofiev Second Violin Concerto and a gorgeous little piece by an English composer who liked to raise apples and collect valuable books out in the country, Gerald Finzi. How did you discover Finzi?
I've always enjoyed British music, and I suppose it's been something of a feature of my career as well. I first began to get to know the music of Frederick Delius when I was very, very young, and he's been a composer that I've really championed.
You have a CD or two of Delius, too.
Several, yes.
He's a little different.
Right. He's very different, yes. I mean, it goes back to what we were saying about composers who lived at the same time and were writing very, very different styles of music. But to get back to Finzi, I was invited to play the introit by the late Richard Hickox, and it was a piece that I'd been meaning to learn, and so I was delighted when he suggested that we actually put together the whole concerto, because Finzi had rather rejected the outer movements, and so the slow movement of the concerto became a standalone piece, the introit. And Richard said, well, why don't we do the outer movements as well? And so we did, and recorded the whole lot. But I do think that it's the middle movement that it really is the one everybody remembers. And I suppose Finzi's instinct were right about that, in that it's a very, very beautiful gem of a little work. And it does work very, very well on its own. It slightly reminds me a little bit of Vaughan Williams' Lark Ascending.
Yes.
Just the sense that I think people feel quite spiritual about this piece of music, in exactly the same way as so many people say to me, the Lark Ascending takes them to places that no other music takes them. And so I feel that there's something of that as well Finzi.
You never get the sense that Finzi was influenced by the Vaughan Williams. They're so different.
They're
but it's
so
just
different.
the kind of the spirit that comes out of them that's the
that's
same.
That's it. The sense of peace, the tranquility. Also, there's a beautiful, peaceful inexorability about the rhythm as well in this introit. So I really love it.
Here it is, then, Tasman Little with the City of London. Do they call it Sinfonia?
Yes,
they do.
Sinfonia, that's right.
I'm glad to hear that. I've been calling it that for years, with the late Richard Hickox conducting. Thank you. The second of the three movements of the Concerto for Small Orchestra and Violin by Gerald Finzi, Tasman Little, the soloist with the City of London Sinfonia, Richard Hickox conducting.